Hello, this is Pastor Brandon Fender, and I'd like to welcome you to another transforming message from right here at Living Way Church. I believe that your life will be impacted by the words you hear today. For more faith-based content, check us out on all social media outlets. Now let's go live into the message.
I'm preaching today on the subject, why did Jesus come to earth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his world into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You may be seated. Today I'm preaching on why did Jesus come to earth. Next Sunday, I'm going to be preaching on why did Jesus leave earth. But when we say why did Jesus come to earth, we're not questioning motivation. We know what his motivation was. God so loved the world. The motivation for Christ to come to earth was that he loved us. Every one of us. You know, that's what we find amazing, because we look at people that are doing despicable things and we just wish for their demise. But God loves them as much as he does you. I know you're the sweetest person on earth. You can justify why God loved you. But you know what? God loves your enemy as much as he loves you. God loves the terrorist as much as he loves the people that love freedom. God loves humanity. And so he came for a specific purpose. In fact, he came for lots of purposes. I shared with this Wednesday night. Let me share it again, because it's what I live for. It's exactly what I live for. My friend Darlene Bishop called me this week and she said, Pastor Steve, so she don't call me Pastor. She said, hey, Steve. That's what she said. Hey, Steve. She's pretty country. Hey, Steve. I said, yeah. You got a minute? I said, yeah. She said, you know Lawrence's sister, Wanda? I said, yeah. I said, you know, she had the same thing that Lawrence had. It's a hereditary thing. They've got these lung problems. It's like black lung disease, and they get to where they can't breathe. Well, said, Wanda's been going downhill for 20 years. That's Lawrence's sister. And said, she's just getting worse and worse and worse, and she got to where she could only come to church very occasionally. But when she heard you was going to be here Sunday night, that's been about 2 or 3 weeks ago, said she got out to church and said, you prayed for her. You remember? I said, I do remember praying for Wanda. She said when you prayed for her, said something coming to her, the top of her head, just a warm feeling, and went all the way through her toes. And said when she got home, she could breathe for the first time for a long time without any oxygen, without any assistance. And said her husband wants your phone number, because he's going to call you, because he said you've messed his life up. Said they're retired, and he was just sitting around, and said, now she's got a new life, lease on life. She's acting like she's 20 years old, and said she's got so much work going on, said he can't get a moment's rest, and said he wants to talk to you about it. Said it's like being married when they were 20 years old, because God has totally healed her. That's really my message. That's what Jesus Christ came to earth for. He came to remedy every ill and to fix every problem. And so when we look at this, we're not talking about the motivation. We're talking about the purpose that Jesus Christ came to this earth for. What an amazing figure in world history. There's nobody like Jesus. Say that. Nobody like Jesus. Nobody like Jesus. For 2,000 years, he's never been forgotten. He's just as prominent and perhaps more than he's ever been. He's on more lips than he's ever been in the history of mankind. There's more people talking about Jesus today, 2,000 years after his death, burial, and resurrection, than there's ever been. You ain't seen nothing yet, because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess. You know, President Trump is in North Korea today, or he's in Singapore, actually meeting with the North Korea leader today, and so many people got hopes on that. You people get really more excited about who's president than I do, because my confidence is not in man. I understand that everything is in the Father's hand. It's predestined, praise God. I pulled a trick on you. I didn't stop in Genesis or Acts. I went to the book of Revelation, and I found out we win, we win. And so just chill out. Just chill out and remember that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. For 2,000 years, he's never been forgotten. In fact, before he was 3, the attempt with murder was made on his life. A bunch of shepherds had received an incredible vision about where he had come from. He had moved to Egypt, and foreign dignitaries had worshipped and given to experience the gifts. Oh, what a Savior. But why did he come? If the Bible is true and Jesus is really the Son of God, why did he leave the splendor in heaven? Why would he leave all of that to come to earth with all of its anger and all of its hatred, all of its dust and all of its dirt and all of its trials and all of its sadness? Why did Jesus come to earth? It is a most crucial question that you can possibly ask. A wrong answer here can lead us to some awful destinies in our life. If he came to fix the environment, if that's all he did, then his life was about trees and plants. If he came to model manners with nice living, then we need to place our Bibles beside the December issue of Martha Stewart's Living. A wrong understanding of why Jesus come will take us all in sort of all sorts of wrong directions. It is crucial that we know why Jesus came to planet Earth. Number one, you just look at the Scripture. When you need an answer, you need to search the Scripture for the answer to everything from world problems to your little problems in your life. All those answers are found in the Bible. That's the reason why it would behoove you to not just come and listen to Pastor Steve and Pastor Brandon and Pastor Jakes and Pastor Hagee and a few preachers. You need to know the Bible for yourself. Because, praise God, there's an answer. There's a solution to everything you will face in life. And so if we need to lead and know why Jesus came to earth, we go to the Scripture, and the Scripture is very clear. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I'm come. This is Jesus talking. He's explaining why he came to earth. He said, think not that I've come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass, one lot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till it all be fulfilled. You know, when we talk about the law, that means what is wrong. When you transgress the law, what is that? That's sin. And so we're thinking, what if the law was done away with, then we could not be sinners. Let's just think about that for a moment. Let's just say, well, you know, there's laws in America. Rather than having all of our prisons filled with people, why don't we just do away with law? Well, that means somebody can come and rape you. That means they can molest your children. That means they could break into your house. They can steal all the things you have, take your car. There's no law. There has to be law. But Jesus said, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. What does that mean? That means that I am, all of my effort, all of my energy, I'm not able to be perfect. I'm not able to measure up to perfection in the law. I just can't do it. You know, you say, well, you're better than some people, but you don't understand about the law. It's a 100% thing. It's not 75% or 90 or 95. In order to be saved by the law, you have to be exactly perfect. And when you study the laws, there's so many laws in the Old Testament. When you study those laws, it's absolutely impossible for us to live up to the law. We might do a good job at some of them, but we're going to fail somewhere. And so Jesus said, I didn't come to take away the law. What I did was I came to fulfill the law. In other words, he said, I came to pay all the law demands. And then he said, I give it to you. I give you the certificate, and that certificate is reviewed by heaven and says you have fulfilled all the law. All the law was fulfilled in Christ. The Bible said in Galatians 3:22, before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after the faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. You know, when I went to Bible college, this is terrible. I shouldn't tell you this. But let me explain to you, life is not fair. Somebody said, Hillary is crooked. Well, I got news for you. She's not in a league by herself. That's pretty much politics, just what you can get by with. And it goes even back to my Bible school days. I had a wonderful professor in Bible school, and he had a daughter that was just a couple of years younger than me. Very simple. All I had to do was take her to dinner once in a while, and my grades soared to unbelievable heights because she graded his papers. And so what I got to doing was just sign my name at the top and leave it blank. And then it'd come back, I would have perfect papers. It was just amazing because Debbie would fill them out for me, and then she'd give me an A. That's just so terrible. just so terrible. That's the reason why I'm not a very good preacher today, is I cheated. I skipped by. But you know what? As terrible as that might seem, that's what Jesus Christ did for me. I can't pass the grade. I can't pass the muster. I can't pay. I can't fulfill the law. I just signed my name and turned it in. And praise God, by the time the Father got it, every blank has been filled out. And Jesus Christ knows all the answer. That's the reason why we say Jesus is the answer. And so praise God. We're no longer under the law. We're no longer under the schoolmaster. But we are now living in faith. And what is that faith? That Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of all law. And He has now deemed us perfect in the very favor of Almighty God. That's the first reason why Jesus came to earth, was to fulfill the law. Here's a big idea. Jesus came to this earth to destroy the works of the devil. Did you know that? You know, early on May the 2nd, 2011, the elite team of SEALs flew secretly from Afghanistan to a small compound in Pakistan. They set off explosives to breach the walls and doors. They entered, they found residents, including children, handcuffed. They were in the plastic little zip ties, children laying out there. They were looking for one person, and that was Osama bin Laden. And when they encountered Osama bin Laden, they shot and killed him on sight, the most wanted man on earth. And the team was in and out in 38 minutes. President Obama appeared on major television. All the networks said, "Good evening. Tonight, I can report to the American people and to the world the United States has conducted an operation that killed Osama bin Laden, the leader of Al-Qaeda, and a terrorist who was responsible for the murder of thousands of innocent men and women and children." Well, you know, that's what Jesus Christ came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. According to the Bible, our situation is dire. The Bible says the entire human race is guilty of sin and lieth in wickedness. The original sin was committed by our original parents, and so we just inherit it. We've all been infected. That's what you realize, is we've all been infected with sin. Every human being on the earth, no matter how rich, no matter which gender, no matter how influential, everybody has been infected by sin. The reality of our situation is so clear that even the philosopher Michael Ruse has written. Michael Ruse was a great philosopher, but he was also an atheist. This is what he said. With respect to the main claims of Christianity, I'm pretty atheistic. He said, "I prefer the term skeptic to describe my position. I'm an ardent evolutionist. And yet, surprisingly," he said, "I also defend the biblical doctrine of original sin." He said, "The reason why I do that, I think Christianity is spot on about original sin." And he said, "The reason why I believe that is not because of the Bible, but when I think of the most civilized and advanced people the world has ever known, Beethoven, Goethe, Kant, and many, many people, they embraced Hitler and participated in the Holocaust. How could they do that," he said, "if there is not a sin in them?" This is not idiots. This is not terrorists. This is the most educated, brilliant people of the times, and they embraced the Holocaust. I think St. Paul, he continues, this is an atheist, "and the great Christian philosophers have real insights into sin and freedom and responsibility. And I want to build on this rather than destroy and turn from it." That's from an atheist. He understands there's something that has infected mankind. But you know what the Bible said in 1 John chapter 3, verse 8? It said, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that He might destroy the works of the devil." Every problem in your life is caused by the works of the devil. It doesn't necessarily mean that he personally came to your house, but he has set an infection into progress, and it affects every one of us. But Jesus Christ came, and he came to destroy the works of the devil. When Jesus Christ died for our sins, Satan was disarmed and defeated. You know, when little Lawrence Bishop was here, he talked about a rattlesnake in a boot, and I thought that was kind of a far-off story, but I only saw it this week here in San Antonio, or here in the San Antonio area in one of the ranches. There's a man that killed a rattlesnake, cut his head off, but then he let that snake's dead head come in contact with him, and he was infected with the poison. Well, the devil has been defeated and disarmed, but yet that infection is still here. But praise God, we have a remedy. Is there not a remedy? Oh, yes, there is. His name is Jesus Christ, and he has come to destroy the works of the devil. The one eternally destructive weapon that he had was stripped from him, namely his accusation before God that we are guilty. You know, that's the devil's big deal, is to try to prove that you are guilty. The devil's already sentenced. He's already sentenced. He knows what's going to happen to him, and now he wants to take everybody with him, and so he is an accuser before the throne of God continually. But when Christ died, that accusation was nullified. For all those that entrust themselves to Christ will never perish. Satan cannot separate us from the love of God in Christ. Hallelujah! Why did Jesus come? He came to fulfill the law. He came also to destroy the works of the devil. That's the reason why every day of my life I invoke the name of Jesus. I plead the blood. When things are not going my way, I speak the name that is above every name. If I have a pain in my body, I don't say, well, you're getting older and you are expect that. My expectation is not in the ills of old age. My expectation is in the power of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. I've got a prayer, and that is I will go in mid-stride. I want to be preaching. A friend of mine was a great preacher, and he died a few years ago, and he was preaching a funeral in Oklahoma, and he was surrounded by flowers. In the midst of his sermon in a funeral, he just fell back into roses. Oh, friend, that's what I want to do. I want to go mid-stride. I don't want some lingering illness. I don't want some painful death. I'm just saying, Lord, I tell Becky, she said, you're out there on that ranch working by yourself. It's 103 degrees. You're just sweating, and it's just rolling down off of you. I said, Becky, if I'd ever not come in and they went out there and found my body, I said, just rejoice, because that's exactly what I'm going to do. I plan on being preaching or riding a horse or doing something. You say, why are you doing that? Because I believe that Jesus Christ has come to destroy the works of the devil. And so I'm not going to succumb to all the things that the devil says he can do to me. I'm going to every day speak the name of Jesus. I'm going to rebuke the devourer. I'm going to proclaim I'm walking in divine health. I'm going to say the Lord is able. I don't have to get sick to go to heaven. I can have a divine transition and just walk from here to there. Every day I work on that. Praise God. And third, this is the third reason why, and the most important reason why Jesus Christ came to earth. In Luke chapter 19, we have a story. It's the story of Zacchaeus, the tax collector. He apparently was an evil man. He was a stingy man. He was a hurtful man. He was a jealous man. If he didn't get the taxes, he would hurt people. But one day, he heard about Jesus Christ. You know, that's all it takes. It doesn't matter what somebody's lifestyle has been or their pattern is or what their personality might be. Don't write anybody off. Nobody's too mean for God. Nobody's too deep in sin for Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ is greater than any sin. And here was this terrible, terrible evil man. But when he climbed that tree and saw Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and he realized that he had a hunger. That's the key. Jesus is looking at every one of us in this spirit today and say, what are you hungry for? And friend, I want to tell you, I've been eating high on the hog, as they used to say in the country, for all of my life. But thank God, I'm just continually developing an appetite for more and more of the blessing of God. And God said, if you've got a hunger, I'm going to feed you. If you're thirsty, he said, I'm going to give you to drink. If you knock, I'm going to open. If you seek, you're going to find. That's what Jesus said. And so here was Zacchaeus, as evil as he was, Jesus looked at him and he said, this man is not beyond the scope of salvation. I don't care where you came from or what your problems are. Jesus Christ is the answer. If you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, there's not a dilemma that he can say that he cannot save you from. Any dilemma in life is well in the scope of God's answer. You need to call on Jesus. Friend, it's a simple message. The Bible said, I'm fearful lest we corrupt the simplicity that is in Christ. It is a simple message. Jesus Christ is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. And so when Jesus looked at him, he said this to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is the son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Jesus Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason why he came to planet Earth, number one. That's what I live for. You know, I'm not excited about a car. You know, the cars that I'm driving are now a few years old, but they're running fine. And I keep thinking, I ought to go down there and get a new car. But I just can't get excited about it. I remember when I was young, I used to get so excited about things like that. You know, and I look at my clothes and I say, I bet they're tired of looking at these old suits. I need to go get some new ones just for y'all so you can see something different. Not me. I'm fine. I'm comfortable. But then I say, well, I can get by a few more weeks. I'm just not that interested. But I'll tell you what excites me. When I hear about Wanda and Dayton, Ohio getting healed, when I hear about that man, Pastor Brandon had his arm around him and he'd been saved for 50 years, but on Pentecost Sunday, he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. Oh, that makes my juices flow. Friend, I just want people to see people seek. I see the Lord seek them out and save them. I don't care who they are. I don't care how poor they are. I've got friends, they get so excited when rich people come into their church. I just get excited when people come into our church. I don't care whether you're rich or poor. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your experiences have been. I just want you to know Jesus Christ like I know him, because he's a wonderful Savior. He's a mighty God. He's a baptizer. He's a filler. He's a liberator. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. You might be an old evil tax collector, but when Jesus sees you up that tree, he says, come on down. I'm going to your house today because you're the reason why that I came to this earth. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Jesus came to save us. If we're to be saved, you know what we are according to the Word of God? We're plucked like brands out of the burning. Did you ever read that verse? It's in Zechariah. Let me read it to you. I've always just been fascinated by this allegory that the Bible sets forth. It's talking about Joshua. You know Joshua? You know Joshua fit the battle of Jericho? You remember him. He's a big deal in the Bible. I mean, he's a starter. Joshua's a big deal, but listen to how he got saved. And he showed me Joshua. This is Zechariah 3:1. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at the right hand to resist him. You see, that's our problem. Satan's always there accusing. Friend, if you don't have a counselor, you don't have a lawyer. It's been said that a person that's their own lawyer has a fool for a client. You don't want to try to defend yourself. You don't want to stand before God and try to explain and say, well, I was a single mother, God, and I did the best I could. You don't have a good enough argument because the devil's going to be there. And you know what the devil's going to do? The devil's going to begin to take everything in your life, every fall. But friend, if you've got Jesus Christ and he sought you out and you let him save you, the Bible said he's the counselor. He's the counselor. He's your lawyer, praise God. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. He said, here's Joshua. The devil's come in here to try to run interference. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. That's what Jesus says. Rebuke you, Satan. Praise God. Well, he says, you know, Jesus knows that Satan is a liar and the father of it. He's not going to accept his railing accusations against me. The Lord said unto Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. Even the Lord that hath chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? Friend, if you are saved, it shouldn't take a new car to make you happy. It shouldn't take a thrilling song to excite you. It shouldn't take a stirring sermon to put you on your feet. You ought to just get up every morning and say, wow, I was plucked like a brand out of the burning. He said, is not this a brand plucked out of? And he said, now Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. You know, that's the way all of us were. The Bible said we had on the filthy garments of sin when Jesus found us. And he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, this is God. Take away the filthy garments for him. That's what God said. When the Lord sees me today, he doesn't see me in the filth of sin and the filthy garments. He said, take all those away. He said, take away the filthy garments. And unto him he said, behold, I will cause thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. Aren't you glad the Lord changed your clothes? Praise God. You know what? You don't even have on your own righteousness, because he said your self-righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. You see, you don't have to show up in heaven with a checkbook and say, Lord, look how much tithe I paid. I've got, you know, this is really counterproductive for me, but I got to be honest with you. Your tithing record is not going to show up in heaven. Oh, it's going to show up in me. I want you to tithe, support this thing. We're trying to reach this city. But you're not going to show up in heaven with a checkbook. You see, that's your own righteousness. You're not even going to show up and say, oh, Lord, I quit when I got saved. I quit doing drugs. None of that. You know what you're going to show up? You're going to show up dressed for the occasion. What are you going to have? You're going to have on a robe of righteousness, praise God. That's what you're going to have on. No matter how filthy you were, no matter what the devil said, Jesus reached down and plucked you like a brand from the burning. He said, hush, devil. He stopped the devil's mouth of accusation against you. He took off your filthy clothes and put you in a robe of righteousness. That's why Jesus came to earth, to do all of this for us. And friend, I want to tell you what, he's doing a pretty good job on me, because I ain't what I used to be. The Lord has changed me, the power of the living God. And he said, take away these filthy raiment. And he said, behold, I have caused thy iniquity to pass before thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. And let them set a fair meter upon his head. So they set a fair meter upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Lord stood by. That's the reason why Jesus Christ came to this earth, to rescue somebody like me. There ain't no reason why I ought to be saved. It's just the grace of God. He found me. He found me. He clothed me. He made me his son. He sought me out, saved me by his blood. John Wesley was the greatest preacher that England ever knew. He had quite a story. He caused England to be set afire during his time. But he has quite a story on who he was. His father was a pastor. His father had and mother had 13 children. And one night the house caught on fire. And all the children got out. And the parents got out. And they realized little John was not out of the house. And then somebody saw him up in the window, and the house was in flames. And neighbors began to stand on each other's shoulders. They didn't have ladders, didn't have lifts. They stood until they get to the top floor of that house, and there was that little boy. And finally, that guy on the very top shoulders reached over and got him. And John Wesley always said, his favorite verse was the one I just shared, because he said, I was literally plucked like a brand out of the fire. Friend, you might not have been saved from a burning house, but do you realize how many cousins you got that don't know Jesus? Do you realize how many friends you've had that don't know Jesus? Do you realize you're the exception to the rule? Do you realize there's a fire all around, and yet it's not affecting you? Because the grace of God is now upon you. Every day you ought to crawl out of bed. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life. It doesn't matter about money and bills and little things, and the washing machine is not working, and the air conditioning. Oh, my, I got an electric gate out the ranch. I can't keep that thing working. This is an aggravation, but that's not a big deal. And then yesterday, the air conditioning went out there, and it's 100 degrees, and now my air conditioning's out. That doesn't matter. Why? I'll get that fixed by and by. But when I get up every day, I'm saved. When I go to bed every night, I'm saved. The Lord's always on my side. I was like a brand literally pulled out of the burning. And folks, it doesn't take a lot to make me happy. Because, praise God, I stay happy because of what the Lord has done for me. Because I understand the plan of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to get too excited about politics. I'm not going to just succumb. Right now, I don't know whether you understand this or not, but we're in a drought. It's a terrible drought. Our ranch in South Texas is flat burned up. I just bought, in the last 2 or 3 years, I'd put together the nicest set of cows I've had in a long time. I had 100 head of nice cows, and they're dropping them calves. And every one of them calves I can go get $500, $800, $900 for. It's just a little money machine. But it dawned on me the other day, it ain't raining, and you don't have no feed, and every time you start feeding 100 cows, it's going to cost you $1,000 a week or so, you better start selling them. I didn't want to have to sell them. I knew some of those cows. They got different markings. They're like my friends. Oh, they've made me money. You love anything that makes you money. But you know what I had to do? I had to start loading my cows up. In the last 3 or 4 weeks, I've been selling cows. I didn't want to do that. That was not really my goal. I had another plan in mind, but that really doesn't matter. So I'm down to about 15 or 20 cows. I'm going to ship them out this week. They'll be gone. That wasn't my original plan, but it's really just not that important. Because I checked today, and my name is still written down. Praise God. The Lord is still on my side. I look around the world at all the trouble and all the problems, and I'm safe in the Father's hand. And I want to say today, thank you, Jesus, for coming to this earth. Thank you, Lord, for being on this earth and for saving me. And I'm not sure that we preachers are doing a real good job of doing what we're supposed to do. You know what the Apostle Paul said? He said, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I don't see a lot of preachers doing that anymore. They're basically just trying to suck people in and fill up these big buildings we've all built. Keep all the doors open and the lights. That's really not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be warning people that you've got to get saved. Jesus Christ has done all that he can do. He came to this earth. He died for your sins. He sent the Holy Spirit back to you. He speaks in your ear. He sent preachers. He sent people to share with you the gospel. And my question today is, do you know why Jesus Christ came to this earth? I'm going to tell you very succinctly why Jesus came to this earth. He was looking for you. He was looking for you. He was looking for you. Jesus called. Did you answer? Little Samuel answered, here I am. Are you answering, here I am? I'm so thankful today. You know, I had so many opportunities when I was a young man to do different things. I'm so thankful that the Lord was able to clear my head and I could see what was the most valuable thing on planet Earth. I watched yesterday as they run the Belmont Stakes, and you know, my dad used to run racehorses, and that's a pretty exciting life. But I watched Bob Baffert win that, the trainer, and I watched that jockey. And that jockey was a Christian, if you happen to be watching. He said, first of all, I want to thank my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so he's a Christian, and I praise God for that. But that's an exciting thing in sports to win the Triple Crown. That's only the second horse in the world to ever win the Triple Crown undefeated. He's never been defeated in his life. He only runs 6 races, including that. But it was a big moment. But I watched that, and I thought back when I was just a young boy, my dad would put me on these horses, and he'd have a stopwatch, and I'd ride those horses, and we were training them and take them to the track, and we'd go to the Indiana State Fair, and we won the Indiana State Fair. I still got the blanket and the trophy and all that in the picture. Got a picture on my desk of a horse we were winning the Indiana State Fair, and all that was fun as a kid. And I came very close to making that my life. And when I looked at Bob Baffert yesterday, he's made that his life. He's made millions and millions of dollars. I thought I could be doing that. I started out doing that as a kid, but I want to thank God that my future is not in a racetrack. My future is not in the things of this world, but every day I get up and I say, I love Jesus and Jesus loves me. I hope I can see somebody saved today. I hope I can see somebody filled with the Holy Spirit today, because 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ came to this earth, and he was looking for me, praise God, and he found me. Just a kid, he found me at 10 years of age. I didn't know anything about theology. I knew nothing about God. All I knew was the pull on my heart, and I answered that call, and I said, yes, Lord. And I gave my heart to Jesus, a 10-year-old boy, and I got filled with the Holy Spirit when I was 13. I started preaching when I was just a teenager, and I say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for sending your Son Jesus Christ to seek and to save me when I was lost. And so, friend, it's not going to take some kind of a success in the ministry. It's not going to take a certain amount of money to make me happy. I'm just so thankful that I'm in the hand of the Lord today. And one of these days, I'm going to walk off this planet. I'm going to walk into the presence of Almighty God. And I'm going to see people like Brother Willie that used to be here that's gone on to heaven. Praise God. Brother Gary, gone on to heaven. My mama, my daddy, some of your family, gone on to heaven. Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to live forever and ever and ever. Jesus Christ came for the purpose that I've talked to you today. But the number one purpose, he came to seek and to save you. And so I ask you, don't let life get you down. Just get up every morning and say, I praise God because I'm saved. He said, rejoice not because the demons are subject to you. But he said, rejoice because your name is written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's the why Jesus came to this earth. Will you stand on your feet, lift your hands, and give God praise? Hallelujah. I've showed you just real briefly what the enemy does. He accuses you. He distracts you. He runs interference to keep you from being saved. Just look at your own life and say, what is it that's distracting me? Is it bills and money? Is it relationship? Somebody that did me wrong? Is it my job? What's distracting me? You know, all these things. The Bible said, seek first the kingdom of God. Then all these things you'll add, all these things will fall in place if you'll answer the voice of Jesus. Jesus is in this building today. And when you look at this great crowd of people today, most of the people in this building, I would think, are saved. Nobody can answer that question but you. I believe most people in this building are saved. You've accepted Jesus Christ. You've answered yes to the Lord. But there's some people in this building right now that have got so much trouble and turmoil in their life, they just can't focus. Well, that's the devil's purpose. That's the reason why trouble comes to you, is to keep your focus, to keep you where you can't hear, to keep your eyes where you can't see. Because Jesus is seeking to save you. And he's walking up and down the aisles of this building right now, in between these pews. And he's saying, I came to seek you. I came to save you. Will you say yes? Ultimately, the ball is in your court. The final decision is made by you. I wonder if there's somebody in this building right now that say, there's something between me and the Lord. I've let things get in the way. I've let people get in the way. I've let the job, money, problems, crisis, health crisis, all kinds of things have sucked my attraction away. And right now, I want to come and renew myself to the Lord. I want to just totally give myself to Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, thank you for coming. He didn't have to do that, you know. Jesus Christ did not have to come, but he loved you so much. Jesus loves you so much. You know, the thing about Jesus is we love people based on their behavior. Even our companions, if they don't do right, we divorce them. But Jesus Christ loves you regardless of your behavior. And he simply says, come unto me. And Jesus is saying right now on a Sunday morning, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I came because I loved you. And all I'm asking is that you love me back. Beck is singing, I'm through. Is there anybody in this building right now that needs to renew their love to the Lord?